Life Coach, featuring scripture from Isaiah. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that we need to remember that Sabbath is a gift, not a test. But oh, how some of us receive this gift with such resistance. Like our inner child telling God, our holy parent, "You're not the boss of me," or "You don't know me." Man, we miss so much while tantruming, while our inner terrible two seems to rage. It's funny to know that often behind the ugly pout are scared eyes, fear of the unknown, the discomfort of not being in control of the space and the view we know. Sometimes we even like the misery we know better than anything that we don't know. But if we would or could trust other as a guide for a moment, we'd be surprised that we just might learn something new. Or should I say, get not what we think we want, but what we actually need. Now, I know that she'd wince, but here's a tale about my daughter, Morgan, Mo for short. I was not my daughter's best friend when she was in my house. I was her mom, and a Midwestern mom at that, a Midwestern fourth-generation German mom. I was at times tough on my painfully introverted, often pensive Eeyore, the only girl in a lineup of brothers. Well, she had enough estrogen for the lot. And I was an impulsive, hyper-involved tomboy raising a girl who actually liked dolls. You know, outside of my first Barbie, Nurse Julia. Do you remember that 1970s series? Well, anyway, my stock was G.I. Joe's. Poor Mo. She would ask me to play Barbies with her, and all she got was, "Bring them in the kitchen while I'm cooking and have them talk to me." Okay, you get it. She and I are wired differently. But you know what? She always wanted to be by my side. Preschool was hard. Preschool was really tough on Mo. And by kindergarten and all those kids, she struggled. She was always telling me a tale of sorrow due to her shyness and fear, and I was always coaching her through just to get her where she wanted to go. She wanted to engage. She just didn't know how to get there. Which makes me think of the Olympics. I don't know if you watched the Olympics this summer, but you could see those kids, those young adults, achieving great athletic accomplishments. Gosh, there was a series of Thanks Mom commercials. They always made me cry. But there was one running right after gymnastics directed to children that said, "If you want to get here," essentially, "this is a number to call and find gyms and trainers and coaches near you." That was paired with many tales of how these kids were seven, saw athletes compete on the Olympics when they were young, and heard their stories of overcoming odds, and were inspired, and so many were unlikely to ever make it, but overcame odds and made their way to the podium. Yeah, they were paired with coaches, you know, that not only understood, but they understood how to get them there because they had competed in the sports themselves. They really knew how to get them there. Or at least where their talents could get them. Because regardless of how great the coach is, the athlete would have to trust them. Okay, Colleen, what does this have to do with Morgan? Was she in the Olympics and you didn't tell us? Nope. But I did coach Morgan a lot. And here's the surprise. I wasn't much different than her when I was little. I was the terrified, crying toddler clinging to my mom's leg as she drug me into preschool. And it's official. I was a preschool dropout from the tiny tot nursery. Mom swears I used to call it the tiny snot nursery. I know, can you imagine me, who seems to be so outgoing? Well, if you don't believe me, on my Myers-Briggs, I'm just one dot over the line to extrovert. You just see, I learned how to do extrovert well, and that paired with my impulsivity, well, it gives you this, what you encounter every week. But at the end of a public run, I need alone time, a lot of it, to recharge. So as unlikely as it may seem, I was the perfect coach for my child. Morgan and my youngest, Max, both are really shy, and they were challenged always to extend their hands, introduce themselves, make good eye contact, be polite, and always speak to adults when spoken to with more than one word answers if possible. I also would let them know that if they felt left out, to not assume that there wasn't someone else in the room feeling just as shy waiting for them to be welcomed by my own kids. Why is it, I used to say, that it's others' responsibility to engage and invite you? Anyway, don't get me wrong. I do understand that there are some days that people just want to be alone, but when one doesn't, they just might need to do something about it. Now, you might think that this is too much and too hard, but I really don't think that there's anything wrong with challenging those that we love, loving them enough to find out where it is they want to go, what they want, and sometimes kicking them in the behind to get them there. Peace of mind, for instance, contentment and joy. Big, big goals for a big number of us, I bet. Sure, if you want to wind it down to being happy, you can try that, but happy is more like a response to something, not necessarily a state of mind, of being. It's the carrot we can't really hold on to for a long time because carrots, well, they're meant to be eaten, not held for days. When we only seek moments of happiness, we often have hours of being kind of, well, whiny. Here's the deal. We aren't the first generation of whiners, and we won't be the last. We come from a long line. The Israelites did their fair share. Now, don't get me wrong. These people came from being enslaved, and then they wandered for a good piece of time to get what they wanted, a homeland with a king. Now, that's another story for another day. But even when they got what they wanted, they still weren't happy. And God, through Isaiah, said, "Happiness is overrated, kids. But you want peace and contentment and deep satisfaction, I know how to coach you to the podium. So listen up. If you do this, no matter where you are or how little you'll have, you can find a full life in the emptiest of places." Oh, how I love it when translations give titles. From Isaiah. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness, and your shadow lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I will give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and you don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so. Do you hear how countercultural that is? It's like us telling our kids, "You're going to feel much better after you clean your room." Sure, even after the Israelites heard this, their inner toddler sprung up. But God, like any good parent or coach, doesn't give up on us and reminds us, go sit in Sabbath, to be reminded of who you need to be. You might not always get what you want, but you'll get what you need. Just temper that toddler and trust me. And you will find that through service, sensitivity, and Sabbath, you'll snag the carrot of contentment that will not rot. Sabbathing, for instance, as one commentator wrote, doesn't cost us much. What does it cost us to go to church, he said? A free Sunday morning, a chance to sleep in, the 20 cents or 20 bucks you put in the offering plate? Odds are, if we stop to think about it, it costs us very little to be a Christian today. I mean, really, our biggest complaint is that we can't sleep in, and it takes up generally a whopping hour and 30 of our day. But we're tired, and we don't wanna. Why are you so tired, Barbie? Because you filled the rest of your week with doing what you want? Or choosing to do things that you think will actually get you what you want? Dudes, we've done this to ourselves. And to think that the answer to our exhaustion and to-do list delirium is to ignore the one thing God, the entity who many of us claim to worship, glorify, and follow, requires of us... Shoot. It all seems petty. And don't get me started on the real challenges that the earliest believers face. But like them, our following Jesus does mean more than simply adopting new beliefs. It requires a new way of living. And I'm not just talking about honoring the Sabbath. That one really should be easy. I mean, that same writer I mentioned earlier, He said to be a follower of the one who accepted and even honored the disreputable meant that we need to do the same, rejecting the easy temptation of judging others and instead inviting them into our lives. To be a follower of the one who preached love and forgiveness was to practice the same thing, particularly when it comes to those who differ from you, especially in terms of what they believe. Or think of it this way. To follow this Jesus, to follow this Jesus to the promised land, means getting our manna for the day and making sure that those around us have some too. To follow this Jesus requires serving others, forgiving others, loving others, accepting others, to be willing to coach them out of despair. Following this Jesus, honoring the Father, will require our inner toddler then to sit in a timeout or think about it chair during Sabbath, stilled and able to receive the gift of a good soul watering and a spirit replenishing, so that on Monday we have the strength to serve, love, and forgive all over again. Baby, it's not always easy, and you may not always be happy, but if we listen and trust, that good and holy coach will not steer us wrong, and we'll be better for it. Not only us, but those around us who will watch and learn and live godly lives too. So anyway, Morgan celebrated her 27th birthday on the 21st of August. That child that would never leave my side lives across the country in Seattle. She and her beau packed up a canoe for a week, camped and hiked all around it. No, she'd never done that before, but she trusted her new coach. She's traveled all over the world, often not knowing those she travels with, to learn and experience the world she used to be terrified of. She's become the emotional coach in her circle who encourages her buddies to step out of their comfort zones to engage and meet their goals. You know what I'm most proud of? She serves as a preschool teacher, coaching, guiding toddlers, three-year-olds, taking their hands from around their parents' legs, drawing them out of the corners and leading them to become who they need to be. I know I had something to do with that. Especially when she calls me to say, "Mom, I pulled a Colleen today. You'd be proud." And recites to me the lessons she learned and those toddlers she now teaches to open up to unending journeys with contentment, joy, and God's purpose and podium.